Scripture, the Word of God, as we read it then in Psalm 144, verse 12, where we read, "May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how important it is for fathers, as well as for mothers, to carry out their parental task of rearing, of bringing up their children in the fear of the Lord, of having them live their lives from day to day with their Savior, the Savior of the world, in mind. As you know, from year to year, behold, we celebrate a Mother's Day and a Father's Day to commemorate in a special way their important place in the family. Yes, but as such, also to remember and to recognize their important God-given mandate, their leading and authoritative position with respect to their children in church, state, and society. How important and how beneficial for a family to have a godly father. To have such a father give solid spiritual leadership at this level, at this cornerstone of society, at this level of educational preparation for all human interaction in that society. Indeed, as it was so clearly and timely proclaimed last Sunday with the last verse of this psalm, "Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." And in practically the same terms, we have now added in a few of our texts, blessed are the covenant children. Blessed are those sons and daughters adopted by God who have godly fathers, who have believing parents, that seek the direction for their children on the basis of the Word of God, so that they may learn and show throughout their youth, throughout their teenage years, and throughout their life, of how God wants them to live their life from day to day, to learn and show as to what is decisive for all human interaction across the line, under all circumstances, in church, state, and society, and thus throughout manifest the incomparable benefit of having or having had a godly father, a godly mother, who diligently taught their godly offspring in many and varied ways the indisputable truth of blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And now in view of this psalm, this prayer of David, there is the call for all of us, yes, but most certainly for godly parents, to join in with David to make this prayer our own, and specifically in view of our text. Thus, fathers and mothers, to join in with this prayer of David, first of all for sons, who in their youth will prove to be mature, like well-nurtured plants, and for daughters, who will bind the generations together, like corner pillars in the structure of a palace. Praise, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, and my fingers for battle. That's how David begins Psalm 144. It's obvious, it's not a psalm, a prayer of lamentation. In verse 3, he expresses his surprising wonder that the Lord is so good and gracious to him. "O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him?" He is most impressed by the love of God for us mankind. Immediately following those words of distress in the verses 4 through 8, he cries out with jubilation, "I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon a 10-stringed harp. I will play that to you." Indeed, David prays for help and deliverance. "Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood." pretty well the same words as used in the verses 7 and 8. And still, despite that distressful situation, he finds reason to sing. To sing as one who has been rescued already. As one who knows that his prayer will be heard stronger. As one whose prayer has been heard already. Now here we do not meet a man in total despair. Of a man who lets out his last anxious cry. Of one who does not expect help anymore. Now here we have a prayer of someone who is sure that that help is forthcoming. That there is salvation. That he will be rescued. Even from the worst of oppressions. In fact, he prays as one who trusts that the Lord grants a victory. Yeah, in part today already. In heart and mind, so to speak. And completely in the future. It is also clear that David does not pray from a selfish motive. He does not pray in the first place for himself. No. As God-given king, he prays here for his people. After all, is he not the father of this people? And that he is indeed concerned about this people becomes clear, especially from our text. May our sons in the youth be like plants full grown. Well, just about everybody knows how important it is to show the greatest care to a young plant. That it gets water on time, nutrients and sun at the right time. Neglect of only one causes it to become weak, to become a poor-looking plant. It doesn't thrive. It cannot become a healthy, sturdy plant. It's bound to become a misfit. It needs close attention from the very beginning. Lots of LTC. Yeah, tender loving care, TLC. Once it is full grown, it is able to stand a great deal. Then it can take care of itself. With that LTC through its beginning, its roots will dig deep and firmly into the soil. It will turn its leaves of itself towards the sun. Clearly, what becomes of a plant is determined at the beginning of its existence. It all depends how it is treated at its initial growth. Whether it received that all-important first love. Whether it had that watchful eye at its tender young age. A tree of 18 to 20 years old, you don't have to water anymore. You don't have to steady it with short or long sticks. But when it is a tender young sapling, it very much needs that special care and support. Well, David says, our people have need of such sons, sons that had the kind of care during the years of their youth. Sons who had the proper upbringing from their fathers and mothers. Sons whose parents, in keeping with the vow given at their baptism, taught them the first principles of life. Parents who heeded, who took to heart the word of the Lord God, of the supreme wisdom, train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now for you, fathers and mothers, now you do realize, don't you, that if you are not faithful to your vows, to your words, then you can expect little else from the children entrusted to you. You do have only one desire, don't you? That they will know the only true God. That they will know their only Savior. Yeah, and everything he stands for. That they may know him who is the way, the truth, and the life. That is through whom they will receive that will a life that will last forever. But then you, and we better realize that this is possible only when you prove to be in your family from the word go, dedicated co-workers of God. That's what the children need. desperately need in this materialistic world and country. What they need in a world that's in the pursuit of sensual pleasures, amidst a culture steeped in drinking, drugs, and sex. What the children need are parents who do not give themselves a moment's rest when it comes to childcare. Fathers, mothers, who will not even allow one opportunity to slip by when it comes to reiterating, when it comes to telling their children again and again about their relationship to their God and Maker, their Lord and Savior. Now, of what they will meet in life, they'll have to meet head on in church, state, and society. And to tell them, to remind them that they are full-time citizens of a heavenly, of an eternal kingdom. So that they, as soon as they reach the age of adolescence, will be able to carry out full citizenship duty. For no matter where they are, they may not for a moment forget that their names are recorded in heaven. May not forget that glorious heavenly reality, whether they are at school, in the classroom, on the playground, in a game, or at a holiday campsite. They are at all times to be made aware that they carry the mark of divine ownership, as publicly manifested in their baptism. Of that they need to be made aware at every moment of the day, yeah, by you, their fathers and mothers, yes, by you in the first place, but then also by their relatives, their grandparents, their uncles and aunts, and then by their pastors, elders, and teachers, so that their heavenly citizenship will become deeply engraved on their heart and mind, so much so that they begin to hate and flee to whatever is in contrast with that divine heavenly citizenship of theirs. Fathers and mothers, the Lord God is looking among you for godly offspring. He does not want citizens whose consciences are being seared by drinking, drugs, and sex. He wants honest and upright citizens, spiritually mature sons, sons who know how to check, how to resist their desires, how to overcome the many temptations that will come their way. Sons who were taught in their early teens that girls are not sex objects to satisfy their selfish desires. Sons who will not regularly consume strong liquor so that they will lose all inhibitions and carry on as if there is no God in heaven. As if he does not see the wanton display of sons who by their actions deny their divine citizenship. Now, beloved parents, do not cease to put some divine steel into the backbones of your sons. Now, also among the adolescents, among the older ones, the ones who by now should know better. Now, beloved, more than ever before, we need godly parents who unceasingly will instruct and guide their sons and daughters on the way to their eternal destination. We need fathers and mothers who know what's going on, who know the dangers their children have to face, the dangers of an ungodly environment, and who are also not naive as to how their sons and daughters do fail to cope with them, and at times even refuse to overcome the dangers of that ungodly culture in the midst day and we live. Do not forget that you have that mighty sword of the Spirit, that living and abiding Word of God. And as parents, you are members of an assembly that belongs to the Reformed Catholic Church of Christ. And as a result, you also have a Reformed heritage. You can, if only you take the time, pull out a lot of stops, so to speak, to set matters straight and to keep them straight. Stops like passing on specific parts of the Word of God. Reformed commentaries to help you reach their meaning in the context of the whole of Scripture. Reformed magazines like Clarion and Reformed Perspective to help you realize what a Christian culture is really all about. Papers on socio-political issues as published by ARPA, the Association for Political Action, for Reformed Political Action. Indeed, how rich we are with that culture of which the Almighty God, of which our Lord and Savior is the very center. And that's how the fathers and mothers, that's how we all together as members of Christ and of His church do go all out to nurture, to teach, to instruct those sons, those young sons among us, so that as a result they will prove to be mature sons who do not only know of their privileges, but also of their obligations as members of the church, as citizens of that heavenly kingdom. Indeed, you, dear sons, how truly rich you are. You know of a culture with a capital C, of which, as I said, your God and Father, your Lord and Savior is the very center. You have been called to promote that culture with every fiber of your being. You have been called to promote a heavenly kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. Indeed, how truly blessed you are. For you know where you came from, what you are called to say and do at this present time, and happy you, you also know what you're heading for. You will be part of a glorious renewal of all things. You will be part of the inauguration of a new heaven and of a renewed, of a perfect earth, which will come to pass the return of Christ, your Savior. Yes, believe it and understand it well. Of all people, you are most privileged. Know that it is that there are not many who have been given the good part in life. But you received it just like that, right into your lap, so to speak. As children of believers, you have been appointed to become covenant children, in order to be made ready for every good work. Now, to that end, do not resist the godly instruction of your father, of your mother, and of others who are directly involved in your overall training in righteousness, in doing what is right, so that you already at a young age would be ready, as I said, for every good work. You also take note of those well-known words out of Ecclesiastes, the ones which specifically addresses you. Remember your Creator in your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Yes, but then you still will be able to cope. For on the basis of a prayer life, in the same confident style as found with David in the Psalm, you will continue to fight the good fight of faith as true sons of your heavenly Father and as sons of godly fathers, of godly parents who taught you His way, the good way, the blessed way that leads to paradise, a paradise regained for you by Christ your Savior. Now David also prays for daughters who will bind the generations together like corner pillars in the structure of a palace. Now, much of what has been said so far applies to them as well, so I can be very short. David prays, we pray for daughters who, like corner pillars, keep things together, who by their behavior keep the household of God cemented together, who in their choice of a marriage partner bind the generations together, and who will therefore not let themselves be tossed to and fro, so to speak, by every Tom, Dick, and Harry, but who will wait until a spiritually mature son comes along, a true son of his heavenly Father, a faithful member of the church, A young man who knows that he is godly offspring, and therefore is willing and able to treat them with due respect, who will not make things unnecessarily difficult by making premature demands on them, and who will refrain from anything that will remove their virginal purity. In short, these daughters will wait and will give their assent only to a young man who in every way shows that he fears the Lord, that he lives with him from day to day. That's the kind of man those daughters will entrust themselves to. And those kind of daughters the Lord is now seeking among his covenant people. Daughters who truly love the Lord. Daughters who may be beautiful on the outside, just as those decorative pillars were at the corners of a palace. But surely, most important is that they are beautiful on the inside. Not daughters who draw attention to themselves with outward adorning, by their daring outfits, by the way they dress, by their daring gestures, but daughters who have been trained to be imperishable jewels. Jewels that reflect, that show a gentle and quiet spirit. Indeed, beloved, those daughters are most precious. They are very rare indeed. And you can find them only among God's covenant people. You can only find them in families where godly parents, where mom and dad train, teach their daughters to become mothers of Jerusalem, of Zion, in the church. That is, God-fearing women who love the Savior, and later on with God-fearing husbands will build his church and to complete the number of the elect. And so, beloved of the Lord, we pray with David for sons and daughters who will bind the generations together, who in turn will bring up their children in the fear of the Lord, so that on the day of the Lord's return, many generations of the church of Chilliwack will close ranks with all the other generations that have kept the faith, and with which we will share the spoils of faith, a fellowship of true love, a fellowship with the only true God, with our only Savior, Jesus Christ, and a fellowship with all the believers, believers of every age, with all God's chosen sons and daughters, from our first parents, Adam and Eve, on in, all together, in a paradise regained, a perfect paradise. And of it, we will live together in perfect harmony forever and ever. Amen. Let us now sing in response Psalm 103, stanzas 1.